Thank you for leading us in that time of prayer. And kind of another standalone message this evening. And I was really thinking through and praying through what to preach about this evening. And the Lord impressed on my heart the challenges that many are facing during the Christmas season. Yes, it's a bright and joyous time, but it can be a difficult time as well. A quick glance through the prayer bulletin this evening, and no shortage of challenges, right? We have Sylvia Beckett's home going and a grieving family there. We have the Fleming family as well. Gypsy, who I mentioned moments ago. Al Lowe, recovering from yet another surgery. Nancy trying to figure out how to administer dialysis at home. We could go on and on and on. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And then all the challenges and needs that are in the auditorium here this evening. So Lord, put this message on my heart. You see the title, The Present of Presence. If you had to guess where I was going, where would I be going? What name of Jesus? Any guesses? Emmanuel, God with us, right? So we'll spend a little time talking about that together this evening. I was doing some reading about depression at Christmas, not a very uplifting topic to read about, but a helpful one. And I ran across a website, just a counseling website, not a Christian website necessarily, but a website that provides support for cancer patients. And I read some interesting things I'd like to share with you now. It reads this way on the website: holly jolly parties, eggnog, gingerbread cookies, carols, and family celebrations. All signs of the holiday season. A time of giving and joy, the happiest time of the year, but not for everyone. For some, what should be a time of jubilation is a time of cold, dark despair. Forget about fa-la-la and donning gay apparel. You'd rather hide from Christmas on the couch, in sweats, and watch Seinfeld reruns. You've got the holiday blues. You're far from alone. If you've had a recent diagnosis of cancer, or if your treatment isn't going well, you feel like you're on the island of misfit toys. On top of that, you feel bad for feeling bad. Others seem more vital than you. While they're hustling and bustling, you're exhausted. Christmas planning adds to your stress and sadness. You're sick of feeling like Scrooge. And it's interesting. Website goes down along the list some of the triggers of the holiday blues. Some creative headers for those triggers. First, your cousin Eddie. That was one of the headlines. It's not just the Griswold family. We all have one or more family members who drive us crazy and trigger bad memories. Second, over the river and through the woods. For people who love their family but are far away, the holidays can be heartbreaking. Being lonely can make people isolate themselves, which just continues on that vicious circle of depression. Third, grinchy life circumstances. You're not an ugly green monster who lives alone on a frigid mountaintop, but your circumstances make you feel like you are. And then finally, ho, 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 health problems. It's hard to feel the Christmas spirit when you don't feel well physically. Pretty good list there, if you think about it. And I wonder this evening, what's your trigger, right? What brings the holiday blues for you? What's on your mind this evening? What's in your heart this evening as Christmas fast approaches? If you'll turn with me to Matthew 1, that's going to be our text for this evening. The narrative of the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at verses 18 through 25. And one of the precious promises related to the birth of Jesus Christ is, you are never alone. I hope you believe that. I hope you know that this evening. You are never, ever alone. So if you look with me, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, as the angel of the Lord commanded him, he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to take a very practical look tonight at the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. I hope it's encouraging to you. Hope it's a de-stressor in some ways. I hope it's a help to you. But those three words, God with us, they're going to guide our journey this evening, really form our outline for our study tonight. And if you think about it, we've been talking about the cradle, cross, and crown. Really, these three words also sum up the message of Christmas, God with us. So first, the word God reveals Christ's power. God with us, God, Christ's power. Going back just a couple of Sundays, we took an in-depth look at the doctrine of the virgin birth. Some of you may not have been here. Most of you probably were. But I want to go back over that. I know it's review, but it's important. It's foundational for some of the practical things for the application for this evening. I want to review a few of those truths about the virgin birth. We dissected the text in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, and discovered the birth of Jesus stands alone. Birth of Jesus stands alone in history. So that verse 4 there, but when the fullness of time had come, Galatians 4, verse 4, God had been providentially working in the world, right, to set the stage for the entrance of Messiah, of the Savior, for His birth, for Him to enter onto the scene. It was the perfect moment in history. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. You might remember the teaching on that. The Greek there, sent forth, really strongly suggests ascending out from the Father from a pre-existent state. Okay, Jesus existed before He was born in Bethlehem. Jesus existed before He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And a couple of weeks ago we said the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, was already the Son of God before He stepped into actually His creation. Not just creation, but His own creation, this world that He had made. The baby in the manger is the omnipotent Creator of the universe. Very important for us to remember, because we all have needs tonight. He is able to provide for our needs. We'll get to that a little later. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son from that pre-existent state, born of woman. According to the Gospel of Matthew, the text we just read, the virgin birth was fulfillment of a prophecy. That would be the prophecy of Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Matthew goes to great lengths to prove that Mary was a virgin. I don't know if you caught that as we read down through those verses 18 through 25, but all kinds of details that were obviously under inspiration of the Holy Spirit provided for us so we can be assured of the truth of the virgin birth. Verse 18, before they came together, right? That is Mary and Joseph. Before there was any union, their sexual union, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, that which is conceived in her is from where? From the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Verse 25, in case all of those details weren't enough, verse 25, Matthew writes, Joseph knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Right? So Jesus supernaturally conceived in the womb of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the virgin birth. Absolutely necessary to secure a couple of things. To secure a nature that was fully human, secure a nature that was fully divine at the same time. Jesus, fully God, fully man. I came at this from a little different angle a couple Sundays ago. I want to share this story with you from World War II, from Billy Graham. Highlights the significance of the incarnation. While fathers were away at war during World War II, mothers did all they could do to keep the fathers in the minds and the memories of their children. There was one particular mother who took her son into a bedroom every day and she would show him a large portrait of his father. Well, one day the little boy said, Mother, wouldn't it be great if father could just step out of the frame? Right? That story from World War II highlights exactly what, or in many ways, a picture of what the incarnation was like, a picture of the very first Christmas in Bethlehem. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1. Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of His nature. Jesus, fully God, fully man. You want to know what God looks like? Take a good look at Jesus, God the Son. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law. But we said this too, the virgin birth guarded Jesus against original sin. All of us have inherited that sin nature handed down to us from Adam, who acted as the representative head of mankind when he sinned there in the garden. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that was handed down to everyone in this world except for Jesus. The virgin birth guarded him from a sin nature, which also enabled Jesus to go on to fulfill, to meet all of the law's requirements. Jesus did what no other man, a woman, child, anyone has ever been able to do, and that is to live an absolutely perfect life, to fulfill the law down to the very letter. Jesus, born under the law, fulfilled it in every way. And the sinless Son of God there sent forth from the Father to do what? To redeem us. To set us free. To set us free specifically by paying a price. That's what redemption means. We are all enslaved to sin from birth. Sin is our master. We can't buy our freedom in any way. Like Jesus, we're born under the law. Unlike Jesus, we can't keep its requirements. We all fall short. Jesus measures up. And He went on and absorbed the curse of the law. That is death. He absorbed that at the cross. He redeemed us. Purchased our freedom at what cost? The cost of His own precious blood shed for us on the cross. He did that. He rose again so death might be swallowed up in victory. And I know that's all summary, but again, it's important. We wrapped all the things up and we said, because of this, because you were bought with a price, you are to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with your body, not just your body, but with your entire being, your whole life. Okay, so Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The word God reveals Christ's power. Okay, the second word there, with, reveals Christ's presence. One pastor shared the details of what he dubbed one of the best days of his life. He may have been exaggerating a little bit, but he really enjoyed this particular day. I'll share his story. He writes, years ago, I was at a conference in Southern California. Had a free day, so I hopped on a boat to Catalina Island, about 25 miles off the coast. There's something about the ocean waves that recalibrates my spirit. I love the sun. There was plenty of it that day. I love books, and I had a good one. I love exploring new places, and I took a tour of Catalina Island and found it fascinating. There are actually buffalo that roam the island. I guess they took them there in the 1930s for filming a movie, and they've reproduced there since. I chilled on the beach, he writes. I did a little window shopping. I went parasailing. It was pretty close to my definition of a perfect day, except for one thing. You probably know where he's going. One thing was missing. All day I had this recurring thought, I wish my wife, Laura, was here with me. He writes, one of my dreams is to take her back so we can experience it together, right? The greatest experiences, he goes on to write, are shared experiences. And that is why the Almighty One became Emmanuel. That is why he is God most high and God most what? Nigh. You've probably heard that said before. God most near to us. So Jesus entered the world as a helpless baby, had to be changed, had to be clothed, had to be fed. At the incarnation, when the Word took on flesh, the transcendent became immanent, the infinite became finite, the eternal became mortal. Love how Charles Swindoll put it. When Jesus was cut, he bled. When Jesus was sad, he wept. When he was hungry, his stomach gnawed within. When he was cold, he shivered. When he was hot, he sweated. When his heart stopped, he died. Right? So Jesus, at the incarnation, willingly chose to identify with us, to identify with what it's like to walk in this world, what it's like to be human in every way. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, don't miss that last phrase, yet without sin. Obviously, a perfect sinless humanity. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Another critical teaching about the incarnation is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, which says this, Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Emptied himself. We talked about this a little while ago too. What that means is not an emptying of his divinity, of his deity, of his godness. No, he didn't empty himself by subtraction of deity. He emptied himself by addition of humanity. He was fully God. And as such, Jesus had all the full rights of deity. But he set him aside. Set him aside, of course, for a season, so that he might identify with the people that he created. He set aside his right to display his full glory. Set aside his right to display or to exercise his independent authority. Submitted himself to the will of the Father during that season. He set aside the right to enjoy all the riches of heaven. As one person put it, God put on skin. It's so true. God put on skin, was born in the likeness of men. He became touchable and approachable. He emptied himself so that we might be full. And I mentioned John 15 on Sunday, this past Sunday. John 15, these things have I spoken to you, Jesus said, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus gives us not just a joy, but his own joy poured out in our hearts. He emptied himself so we might be full. And we said he has removed the greatest obstacle to our joy, which is our sin. It's right here in Matthew chapter 1:2. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Sins have been put out of the way, that great obstacle, so that we can have his joy, so that our joy might be full. The greatest experiences are shared experiences. Jesus wants to share Christmas with you. I hope you believe that too this evening. He wants to share Christmas with you. He is closer than you could ever imagine. I love how A.W. Tozer put it. He says, Trying to be happy without a sense of God's presence is like trying to have a bright day without the sun. That's so true. The greatest gift God gives us is the present of His presence, our title for this evening. Which leads us to our final thought this evening. New material, I promise. New material. All the other stuff, foundational, very important for applying the truth. The word us, God with us. The word us reveals Christ's purpose. You know, I think sometimes we have all the knowledge. I, as your pastor, I have the knowledge, but sometimes I lack the application, the follow through of that knowledge in my life, application of the truth. So Jesus is very much with us. Don't miss this. Jesus is very much for us, right? Romans 8, if God is for us, then who can be against us? I love the couple of Christmas carols, the lyrics there. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, right? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And I know I keep going back to this one, but every time I talk about the omnipresence of God, I got to go back to the way A.W. Tozer describes it, because it is just so good. He says this, Christ is everywhere here, close to you, next to you. And you can't say it any better than that. Christ, everywhere here, close to us, next to us. So I ask you again, what's triggering the holiday blues this evening? Something on your mind this evening. I know there's something on your heart. Is it unrealistic expectations? Overwhelming responsibilities? I've been honestly feeling a little bit of that. And I kind of was burdened by that yesterday, and then I jumped back into studying for tonight, and the Lord kind of lifted that weight off my shoulders again. Is it social interactions? Not Cousin Eddie, but maybe some other family member. The challenges of gathering together. I shared an article with you some time ago, but again, very fitting for this evening. If you're dealing with those unrealistic expectations, the stress of all the preparations of pulling everything together, whether it's buying the gifts or preparing the meal or inviting the family in, this story's for you. Written by a woman who confesses that shopping, hosting parties, cooking meals tends to bring out the Martha in her. You might remember the story now. She was at a candlelit service, and in her own words, listening to the peaceful strains of silent night, I wrestled in my mind with a list of things to be done. That might be you even tonight, wrestling with that list. My lips moved to the words while my brain mulled over various menus for our annual Christmas Eve buffet. Realizing this, I felt a stab of guilt, bowed my head. Father, let me see Christmas through your eyes tonight. Wonder and immense gratitude settled upon me. Into my heart, God whispered, if there was ever a time to worship me, it's now. The season is about me only, but each year you crowd me out with the inconsequential. She finishes that article with these words. Delicious dinners are nice. Perfect gifts are delightful. But I'm learning that only one thing really matters. While I tend to be more like Martha, at Christmas, 'tis the season to be what? To be merry, M-A-R-Y. I think we're all familiar with that story this evening, most of us. Mary and Martha, very close friends of Jesus. Jesus had been traveling, rigorous ministry schedule. He's tired, he's hungry, needs a place to rest. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they invite him and the disciples into their home. Martha springs into action, making all the preparations. So much to do, so little time to do it. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Just a few days before Christmas. Mary's inclination, though, sit at the feet of Jesus and worship. Much to learn and no time to waste for Mary. Martha distracted, Mary focused. Martha's eyes fixed on preparations, Mary's eyes fixed on Jesus. Martha's intentions, good, right? She wanted everything to be perfect for her guests. That's a good thing. But Mary was in the right place at the feet of Jesus in true worship, eyes fixed on Him, ears open to His instruction, heart ready to obey. And as we think about this lady's story, as we think about Mary and Martha, this Christmas we do well to be still and to know that He is God, to stop for a moment and to listen for His voice. Not an audible voice necessarily, but His voice as spoken through His perfect Word. Let's listen to Him. Let's be still and know that He is God. The greatest gift Jesus gives is the present of His presence. It's under the tree. It's interesting. It's kind of like the gift of salvation, right? It's got to be received. It's got to be opened. It's got to be treasured. He's offered it, right? He's everywhere here, close to you, next to you. The present is there, but we've got to take advantage of that. We've got to receive it as our own. Jesus, very much with you, very much for you. Maybe it's the burden of preparations. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's finances. Things are a little rough. I think we're all feeling that this Christmas season. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's fatigue. Maybe it's travel. You're stressing out about that. Maybe it's loneliness, sickness. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's estrangement with a family member. Whatever it is, I'll say it again. Jesus, everywhere here, close to you, next to you. Jesus, very much with you. Jesus, very much for you this evening. Charles Spurgeon had a way with words. Listen to what he said about the truth of Emmanuel, God with us. This is great. And an extemporary preacher too, extemporaneously would just put these things out there. It boggles my mind. But here's what he said. He said, "It is hell's terror. This is Emmanuel, God with us. Satan trembles at the sound of it. Let him come to you suddenly, and do you but whisper that word, God with us, back he falls, confounded and confused. God with us is the laborer's strength. He could how could he preach the gospel? How could he bend his knees in prayer? How could the missionary go into the foreign lands? How could the martyr stand at the stake? How could men labor if that one word were taken away? God with us is eternity's sonnet, heaven's hallelujah, the shout of the glorified, the song of the redeemed, the chorus of the angels, and the everlasting oratorio of the great orchestra in the sky." Man, he's got a way with words. That's beautiful and so true. Emmanuel, God with us. I quoted Hebrews 4:15 moments ago, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect, who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." But then the author continues, and you know this well, verse 16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Right? As the Son of Man, Jesus knows your need this evening. He gets it. He understands you. He walked in your shoes, so to speak. He's experienced it all in this world and much more, much worse in some ways. He cares deeply. As the Son of God, He's able to provide for your need, right? He is the omnipotent one. He's the creator of the universe. He's able to do all things. And He invites you to that throne of grace where you can find help in your time of need. If you draw near to God, the scriptures say He will draw near to you. So I want to bolster your faith this evening. I can't do like Charles Spurgeon does, so I'm going to lay the Word of God on you instead. Okay, I want to bolster your faith this evening in the presence of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus with you this Christmas. Psalm 139, 7 through 12. "Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Psalm 139. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And Matthew 28, here's for those interactions, some of those social interactions this Christmas, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In John 14, Jesus' promise after his departure, verses 16 through 18, and I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Then Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, talking about heaven, the Apostle John. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Right, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Father, thank you for this time again this evening in the Grow class, in your word together, the sweet fellowship we enjoy. And we thank you for the sweet fellowship we enjoy, not just with each other, but with you. What beautiful truth, the story of Christmas, that Father, you would send your one and only Son as that precious gift so we might know you, we might know what you're like, that you might be with us and might understand us. And we thank you for that. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for your presence with us, even in difficult times. And I know there are heavy burdens on hearts this evening here in the auditorium, those listening online as well. Some homebound, some struggling with cancer, some with sickness, some just stressed out about all there is to do. I pray that you would comfort them with the knowledge of your presence. Comfort them with the promises of your word this evening. We thank you that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us now and forever. And I pray that we would honor you as we go out from here, that we would be a light for you as was prayed earlier. And as this Christmas Eve service comes up on Sunday, that we would be out and inviting those who don't know you, who've never experienced the light, that they might come and hear the truth and experience what life is like with you and know eternal life, know your presence. I pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thank you all for coming out this evening. Be careful on your way home. Enjoy some fellowship there out in the lobby this evening.